Ooh, baby, baby. Baby, baby. Ooh, baby, baby. Baby, baby.
Anon Radio is your non-commercial, non-profit, member-supported underground radio station.
Powered by the SDF Public Access Unix System.
It's 1900 UTC, and that means it's time for That's News to Me. I'm your host, DJ Marcus. Let's see what's happening in the world today.
Oh yeah! It is October 6th, 2021, and get this, it is 1902 UTC. That means it's time for some news. That's right.
Excuse me while I whip this out.
We're just syncing bookmarks. What? Oh, yeah.
That's correct.
Always something that slows me down. It's the syncing of the bookmarks. But don't worry, we got that all going. So here's what you need to do if you want to have a good time. Well, suggested anyway. You want to go ahead and SSH over to sdf.org. If you don't have an account, go ahead and get one by signing up with SSHing over as new, that's N-E-W, at sdf.org. From there, you'll fill out the sign-up form, you'll get all set up, and you'll have an account for SDF. And why is that important? Well, because then you can run the COM, the chat program we use when we're talking on the radio. Just type COM at the command prompt, then press G for go to, and then Anon Radio, all lowercase, all one word. And when you do, you will be presented with some really cool ASCII art that says Anon Radio. And inside of that, ooh boy, you'll get to hang out with cool people like Stug and X1 and all the other news people. So hello, hello, welcome and welcome. If you want to give people points, you can. All you gotta do is type their name, plus plus. And you can also press the equal sign to see the schedule. Plus sign will let you know what time it is. And my favorite, the B button, is boss mode, and it will give you just a star prompt with a blinking cursor that you can type into. And then when you hit enter, you'll be back in COM. So it's pretty nice. I enjoy it. Anyway, enough of that from me. Thank you so much for being here. We've got a lot to cover, so let's go ahead and jump into it. We're going to start the way we almost always start.
World news.
That's right, with the world news. Joe Biden says Xi Jinping has agreed to abide by the Taiwan Agreement. Biden says he spoke to Chinese President Xi Jinping about Taiwan, and they agreed to abide by the Taiwan Agreement. We made it clear, but this is Biden speaking, we made it clear that I don't think he should be doing anything other than abiding by the agreement. Mr. Biden appeared to be referring to Washington's long-standing One China policy, under which it officially recognizes Beijing rather than Taipei and the Taiwan Relations Act, which makes you clear that the U.S. decision to establish diplomatic ties with Beijing instead of Taiwan rests upon the expectation that the future of Taiwan will be determined by peaceful means. The comments to reporters at the White House made after Mr. Biden's return from a trip to Michigan touting a spending package come amid escalations of the Taiwan-China relationship. If you have not been following along or aren't aware of that, yeah, it's been pretty serious over there. We talked about a bunch of Chinese warplanes flying around in Taiwan's airspace. It was a self-governing island, I believe is our phrase we used yesterday. So anyway, it's good news that Xi Jinping is saying, yeah, we're going to abide by that agreement. We'll see if that sticks or what happens there. This is a headline that I wasn't really sure how to take, so I thought, hey, it looks like news to me worthy. Czech communists risk historic defeat as vote looms. A video clip tagged Farewell Comrades has gone viral ahead of this week's Czech elections as the Communist Party faces a parliamentary wipeout 32 years after being toppled in the 1989 Velvet Revolution. Which just sounds pretty cool. Na, 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 na. Oh, Sorry, that's the Velvet Underground. Alright, we don't have the clip, sorry. The clip features a queue for food reminiscent of long lines seen during the former communist command economy in Czechoslovakia between 1948 and 1989. More than 3 decades since Czechs overthrew the regime, the party now risks crashing out of parliament for the first time since World War II. Their voter base is dying out or deserting them for other parties, said Otto Eibel, an analyst at Masaryk University in the second Czech city of Brno. It's B-R-N-O, so I'm not sure if I'm saying that right. And they're obviously not able to revamp themselves in a way that would ensure their survival. The Communist Party currently has 15 seats in the 200-seat Czech lower house of parliament, down from 33 in 2013 to 2017. Opinion polls ahead of parliamentary elections show that it risks failing to muster the 5% voter support required for any political party to enter parliament, despite its efforts to woo young voters born after communist rule. It is also fighting with something of an image problem for its far-left credentials after giving support to the minority government of embattled billionaire Prime Minister Andrej Babiš. Oops, sorry. Happy news. So that's going on. So here's some happy news. This is a good news, happy song, happy story. Evacuated Afghan girl's pet bird finds sanctuary. A pet bird belonging to an Afghan girl who was evacuated from Kabul after the Taliban's takeover has found a new home with France's ambassador in Abu Dhabi. Xavier Chatel took in the little Mina named Juji after the girl was stopped from bringing it on a flight from the UAE to France. The bird now lives at the ambassador's residence and after days of coaching has even learned to tweet bonjour. Chatel has promised to try to reunite the girl with Juji one day. More than 120,000 people were airlifted out of Afghanistan between 14th of August and the day before Taliban militants took control of Kabul, and August 30th, when the last U.S. forces withdrew from the country. About 2,600 at-risk Afghans left on French evacuation flights. Yay, France. I'm not sure. It'll be interesting. But, hey. It's exciting that it's learned how to tweet bonjour. That's kind of cute. A girl arrived, according to the person here, a girl arrived at Al Dafra Air Base exhausted with an unusual possession, a bird. She had fought all the way at Kabul Airport to bring the treasured little thing with her. For sanitary reasons, the bird could not embark on the plane. He added, she cried silently. I was moved. I promised to take care of that bird at the residence, feed him. She could come visit him any time and take him back. So it's very sweet. He bought a cage for the bird, fed it, and took it out in the morning so he could meet other birds. Juji eventually loosened and started to say mysterious things in a language he couldn't understand. Knowing that Mina birds are renowned for their ability to imitate human speech, he taught it some French. The thing is, Juji doesn't like men, he frowned at me and looked angrily while he giggled at females. I went on trying hopelessly, my daily bonjour, but sure enough he wouldn't listen. Or so I thought, until one day the female manager of the French residence sent me this bonjour that went straight to my heart. It's very cute, and I can't play the song for you, the sound for you, but there we go. Hey! sorry you're having a bad connection, X1. I wish I could help you out from here. Good luck. Oh yeah, we got news. I wish I had more music. Bow, bow, bow. News. Bow, 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 bow. I'm tired of reading these sad stories. Let's talk about some technology. And then we'll jump back to more sad news, because we got lots of it, don't worry. U.S. suspends authority to ship nuclear materials to China's CGN. Sorry you're missing this story, Publius. The U.S. nuclear power regulators last month suspended the shipment of radioactive materials and a hydrogen isotope used in reactors to China's largest state-owned nuclear company, CGN. That's Charlie Golf November. Reflecting Washington's concerns about the country's buildup of atomic weapons. The Nuclear Regulatory Commission said in the order dated September 27th that the White House had determined that the suspension was necessary to further the national security interests of the United States and to enhance the United States' common defense and security consistent with the Atomic Energy Act of 1954. The suspension on exports covers radioactive materials and deuterium for CGN, or China Generated Nuclear Power Group, its subsidiaries or related entities. Deuterium is a non-radioactive isotope of the element hydrogen that is used in heavy water fission reactors and nuclear power plants. The suspension further tightens control. Set in 2018 by the administration of Trump on shipments to China of civilian nuclear technology to prevent it from being used in military and other unauthorized purposes. CGN was placed on blacklist, U.S. blacklist, in August 2019 for allegedly making efforts to acquire advanced U.S. technology and material for diversion to military uses in China. The Pentagon reports, in a report to Congress last year, estimated that China could at least double the number of its nuclear warheads over the next decade from the current stockpile in the low 200s. The head of the U.S. Strategic Command, Naval Admiral Charles Richard, has warned lawmakers this year that a new generation of nuclear power plants China is developing could produce large amounts of plutonium that could be used to make nuclear weapons. China has said its nuclear program is for peaceful purposes. So, we will have to see how that plays out. But, as Doug mentioned here, it's kind of like, we were selling nuclear materials to China to begin with? It seems like the U.S.'s position would be against that. I don't know. I'm for more nuclear power around the world, but such is life, I guess. All right, well, hold up. What else is going on? Well, here's something. I don't know if you're listening or hear me out there, but Twitch confirms massive data breach. Game streaming platform Twitch has been the victim of a leak reportedly divulging confidential company information and streamers' earnings. More than 100 gigabytes of data was posted online Wednesday. The document appears to show Twitch's top streamers each made millions of dollars from the Amazon-owned company. Twitch confirmed the breach and said it was working with urgency to understand the extent of it. In a statement posted on Twitter, the company said it would update the community as soon as additional information is available. Fortnite streamer BBG Calc told BBC News, "The earning list got my figure 100% correct." Another streamer confirmed to the BBC that their earnings were accurate, while a third person closely linked to a high-profile player said the details were about right. Those behind the leak also claimed to have the source code for the video platform itself. Top earners. The documents shared in the online forums appear to show payments made from August or September 2019 to October 2021. Some versions shared online point to well-known streamers, including Critical Role, Canadian XQC, and American Summit 1G as being among the top earners. Twitch famously fiercely guards operational details, such as how much it pays streamers, so this looks extremely embarrassing for the company. And it comes at a time when competitors such as YouTube Gaming are offering huge salaries to snap up gaming talent, so the fallout could be significant. So this will be very interesting to see what happens, but if you have a Twitch account, be sure that you update update your password. I know I updated mine. I still have two-factor authentication set up, so that's kind of how that goes. Anyways, let's keep on a rolling. We got so much news, and we got this
guy.
Get
the news over with. I want to hear the music. Get the news over with. Yep. I want to hear the
music.
We're going
to make it, though. We can do it. To answer your question, Stug, I'm not really sure if U.S.-supplied nuclear material would mean that the missile itself would be subject to ITAR. I bet you the ruling is, or the way the rules are, is if we sold someone deuterium and they use that to end up making something, that would be a little different. Hey, Fog, welcome. Thank you for tuning in. All right, one more story. We're going to do one more story. It'll be a tech story, and then we'll play a song, and then we'll get back to our world stuff. Or maybe we'll talk about the U.S. I got too many news stories today. Oh my gosh, why can I not stop talking? All right, let's get going. Here we go. European Parliament calls for a ban on facial recognition. The European Parliament today called for a ban on police use of facial recognition technology in public places and on predictive policing, a controversial practice that involves using AI tools in hopes of profiling potential criminals before a crime is even committed. In a resolution adopted overwhelmingly in favor, MEPs, that's Michael Echo Papa, also asked for a ban on private facial recognition databases like the ones used by the controversial company Clearview AI. The Parliament also supports the European Commission's attempt in its AI bill to ban social scoring systems, such as the one launched by China that rates citizens' trustworthiness based on their behavior. This is a huge win for all European citizens, said Peter Vidanov, S&D, the resolution's author. The non-binding resolution sends a strong signal on how Parliament is likely to vote in upcoming negotiations of the AI Act. The European Commission's proposal of the bill restricts the use of remote biometric identification, including facial recognition technology, in public places unless it is to fight serious crime, and that serious is in quotes, such as kidnapping and terrorism. The AI Act's lead negotiator, Brando Benefi, S&D, I'm not sure what S&D means, and almost all of his co-negotiators from other political groups in the Parliament have called for a blanket ban on facial recognition. This is in stark contrast to policies implemented in some EU member countries who are keen to use these technologies to bolster their security apparatuses. interesting, Stug. Stug, let us know. If a U.S. citizen so much as sneezes on jet engine technology, it pretty much becomes ITAR controlled. Yeah, we'll see how that works out. And Google's going to invest $1 billion in Africa to improve internet access. Google said on Wednesday it'll invest $1 billion, with a B, over the next 5 years to allow for faster and more affordable internet access and support entrepreneurship in Africa. Internet reliability isn't a problem where less than a third of the continent's 1.3 billion people are connected to broadband. But the continent, where nearly half the population is under 18, is a promising market. According to Google and Alphabet boss Sundar Pichai, huge strides have been made in recent years, but more work is needed to make internet accessible, affordable, and useful for every African. The investment will support digital transformation by ensuring improved connectivity and access. The funds will, among other things, go towards infrastructure development, including the Equiano subsea cable that will connect South Africa, Namibia, Nigeria, and St. Helena with Europe. The deal expands Google's pledge announcement 4 years ago to train around 10 million young Africans and small-scale businesses in digital skills. Hello, Claudio M. Welcome, welcome. And hey, Stern, thanks for jumping in, tuning in. So this is pretty neat. I'm excited. I think I'm not really a big pro Google guy. I try and avoid using their services, but this is neat. This is good for the world. If we can get more internet, we need more access to the internet. All right. Well, it's that time.
Get the news over with. I want to hear the music.
Guy, it will not be denied. We need to get going. Let's see. Do we have anything? Nope, I guess not. All right, I was hoping I had some prints, but I don't. So we're just going to have to listen to some Good Riddance. But what Good Riddance song will we listen to? That, my friend, is going to be interesting. Actually, not really. It's A Credit to His Gender from Good Riddance.
Take what you can.
You're listening to Anon Radio, powered by SDF Public Access Unix System.
Oh, that's right. You are listening to Anon Radio, powered by SDF. And please stick around at 1930 UTC, which is just in a few minutes, 7 minutes or so. We've got the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe, which is a fun little drop through whatever Tobe's got going on. If we press our equal sign and com, we get to see the rest of the schedule, including DJ Zeptar's The Zeptar Show at 20 hours. And then at midnight tonight, we've got Banana Republic, followed by 33 and a third with DJ Buttstuff. DJ Buttstuff is a lot of fun, so you definitely want to check that out if you haven't yet. Banana Republic is also fun, but, I mean, you can only promote one show at a time. I can only say one show at a time, but they're both fun, so check it out. And go to anonradio.net for more information. All right. Oh, and check out Plan 9 Base Boot Camp if you want. That is going on. All right. Well, let's talk about some sad stuff going on in the United States, because there's a lot of that. First up, Ernest Johnson, Missouri, executes man for killing three in a 1994 robbery. A Missouri man has been executed for murder, despite pleas for clemency by advocates who had said he has an intellectual disability. Ernest Johnson received a lethal injection on Tuesday after the U.S. Supreme Court refused to consider a stay of execution earlier in the day. The 61-year-old's pleas for leniency had received support from Pope Francis and two members of Congress. Johnson killed three convenience store workers in a 1994 robbery. Attorneys for Johnson argued he was ineligible for death penalty because he had multiple IQ tests that had shown he had the mental capacity of a child and read at a primary school level. Johnson, who was a black man, had been born with fetal alcohol syndrome after his mother drank heavily during her pregnancy. He had also been missing a fifth of his brain tissue since 2008 after ongoing surgery to remove a brain tumor. So he would have been in prison already 10 years at that point. Or no, 8, now I'm doing math, 14 years. Attorneys pointed to a 2002 Supreme Court ruling that asserts that using the death penalty against Americans with intellectual disabilities violates the Eighth Amendment of the Constitution, which prohibits cruel and unusual punishments. However, the U.S. state's top court denied Johnson a stay of execution last year and refused to take up his case again. The state's Republican governor had also refused to block the sentence. Elected officials, racial justice activists, and faith leaders joined the efforts to spare his life. Pope Francis, who in 2018 changed the teachings of the Catholic faith to officially oppose the death penalty in all circumstances, wrote last week to Missouri's governor that the Pope wishes to place before you the simple fact of Mr. Johnson's humanity and the sacredness of all human life. But on Monday, Governor Mike Parson announced the state would deliver justice and carry out the lawful sentence Mr. Johnson received in accordance with the Missouri Supreme Court's order. Writing in support of the execution, Attorney General Eric Schmidt said that the facts of Johnson's actions plainly reflect the offender's ability to plan, strategize, calculate, and scheme effectively. Johnson had asked to be executed by firing squad, but his request was denied by the Missouri Supreme Court, and he was instead executed by lethal injection. In a handwritten statement before his death, Johnson apologized for his crimes and thanked his family, friends, and lawyer for their support. He's the first inmate to be put to death in the state since May 2020 and the seventh to be executed in the U.S. this year, according to Death Penalty Information Center. Welcome back, X1. Hope your connection is more stable now. There is so much other news going on, but we're going to have to speed through it. First, did you get COVID recently, or have you caught it? Well, a study reveals why some people get COVID toe. Scientists believe they can explain why some people who catch COVID develop chilblain-like lesions on their toes and fingers. COVID toe appears to be a side effect of the body switching into attack mode to fight off the virus. Researchers say they pinpointed the parts of the immune system that appear to be involved. The findings in the British Journal of Dermatology may help with treatments to ease the symptoms. It can happen at any age, but affects children and teenagers more commonly. For some, it's painless, but the rash can be extremely sore and itchy, with tender blisters and swelling. Sophia. Due to host key issues, DGC may not be broadcast today. I'm sorry. Host key? Can't you just delete your host key file? I'm sorry. Sophia, who's 13 and from Clackmanshire in Scotland, was barely able to walk or wear shoes when she developed COVID toe earlier this year. Wait, what? Oh no, Toe, what is this? This is breaking news. Oh no. What's happened? Host key problems? You're on, you're connected. I'm so concerned. Well, anyway, we'll find out soon, I guess. Let's keep going. So yeah, COVID toe. What happens? You get COVID, and your body overreacts. Cells lining small blood vessels supplying the affected areas are involved. The researchers studied 50 people with COVID toe in the spring of 2020 and 13 others with similar lesions that were not linked to COVID infections. They hope the finds will help patients and doctors better understand the condition. So for now, if you get COVID, your fingers and toes might blister up. And a U.S. man, here's our last story, U.S. man sues psychic who promised to remove ex-girlfriend curse. California man is suing a psychic who he says falsely claimed she could remove a curse put on his marriage by a witch hired by his ex-girlfriend. Mauro Restrepo said Sophia Adams promised she could save his marriage if he paid $5,100 to exercise the spell, according to a fraud suit filed with the Torrance Supreme Court. Ms. Adams allegedly told Mr. Restrepo he and his family would be unhappy and in danger if the curse was not lifted. He's now seeking $25,000 in damages. Included among several other allegations made by Mr. Restrepo are charges of negligence, civil conspiracy, and both intentional and negligent infliction of emotional distress. Mr. Restrepo said that he contacted Ms. Adams after searching for psychics on Google. Ms. Adams' website bills her as a psychic love specialist and PhD life coach, which the suit claims made plaintiff more confident that he was speaking with a professional that could help him. During the session, Ms. Adams read his tarot cards and told him he had mala suerte, or bad luck, placed on him by a witch hired by his ex-girlfriend, and unless the curse was removed, it would ruin him, his children, and his marriage. Despite making it a deposit of $1,000, Mr. Restrepo says that Ms. Adams did not in any way help his marriage, and he had been suffering from sleepless nights, anxiety, and anguish. So, yeah, we'll find out if there's a dubious goals committee coming up. Hopefully. It's one of my favorite, it's the show that everybody knows and loves on and on radio. Fingers crossed. And yeah, that kind of does it. We're going to go ahead and play the exit music, but stick around. Dubious Goals Committee.
Coming up. That our time's come to an end. Thanks for listening. I'll be back tomorrow and every weekday, Monday through Friday, before the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe.
Nine.
At 1900.
7.